Thank you for joining me this week. Our message on Sunday, May 17th, 2020, comes from Acts 17, verses 16 through 34. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him, and some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Well, others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." Well, they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Well, then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in a meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. For in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. I thank you for joining me as we learn a lesson from Paul on how to witness. Well, I remember once when I was traveling on Interstate 80, I stopped at a rest area with my dog, Tin Can, to relieve myself and to give Tin Can the same opportunity. But I noticed a sign that said, "No dogs allowed." Well, it was a warm day and I needed to leave Tin Can in the truck, so I left the rear window about halfway down, and knowing what an escape artist she is, I told her, "Stay." And as I headed to the facilities, a young man headed there also said, "You might better put it in park, sir." Well, in my mind, I thought this young man didn't see the whole picture. He was totally oblivious to the dog on the back seat. His viewpoint of the situation was certainly different than mine. So as we walked together toward the restrooms, I had an opportunity to explain the situation, and come to find out, he had the same problem. In our exchange of pleasantries, he asked what I did for a living. I told him I was a pastor and asked if he attended church. His reply was no, but he had questions. Well, he opened the door for an opportunity to witness. just as those in Athens had done for Paul. So with that in mind, I took that opportunity and shared with him what Christ has done for me and how he could do the same for him. So our message today, Paul gives us an example of what a Christian witness should look like and how we bring others to Christ. So our lesson is how to witness. And step one, Paul, he begins where the people are. When Paul, with his unique audience in mind, begins where they are, he takes a known to present an unknown to them. Men of Athens, he began, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. Well, he began by getting their attention and then was off and running with the eloquent oratory and skill for which he is so well known. People are one for Christ, primarily, by someone speaking to them about Christ in the church. Well, Charles Wesley, he wrote a hymn entitled, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Well, a thousand tongues would be fine, maybe, but we would be glad to settle for just one, especially in our world today and the limited interaction we have with others. For if every tongue of every Christian would be dedicated to tell the gospel story, we would soon set the world aflame. Well, there are multitudes of ways for witnessing for Christ to take place. Methods are as varied as are the witnesses. Some are naturally better than others. There's a story told of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going. And as the doctor, he fumbled for a reply, he heard a scratching at the door, and he had his answer. Do you hear that? He asked his patient. It's my dog. Well, I left him downstairs, but he has grown impatient, has come up, and hears my voice. He has no notion what is inside this door, but he knows that I am here. Well, isn't it the same with you? As Christians, you don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know that your master is there. Someone found fault with D.L. Moody's method of witnessing, and he responded, I like the way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. The worst we can do is to do nothing at all. Paul was very wise in his approach. If you are going to catch fish or people, it is sometimes best to sneak up on them. Use the bait they're familiar with. This is certainly not to say that we are going to be dishonest, manipulative, or misrepresentative at any time. But it's easy to say we are going to be aware that a lot of folks are just running scared of religion. They are leery of the hard sell that has turned them off and rightly suspicious of people whose motives are to get them so they can carve another notch in their gospel gun of converts. Well, step two is to find common ground and communicate. So communication at best is not easy. Paul started where his hearers were. Jesus told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We manage the harmless as doves part fairly well, but our wisdom is often lacking. The one who is witnessing must follow Christ's example closely if he or she expects to be heard. Jesus spoke in parables of everyday life, and we need to do the same if we are to share the good news with others. Paul didn't begin by using a sledgehammer of verbal accusations to those he addressed, because he might have said, shame on you, Athenians, for you have so many gods, or how can you possibly worship an unknown God? Or you claim to be philosophers and I don't know who God really is. Where are your brains? Well, no, rather, he started with them by using the familiar. If those to whom we witness do not know God the Father as revealed in Christ, we do not and should not criticize or assault their intelligence. We might do well to start by talking about their gods. As there are all kinds of gods today, just because something seems real doesn't mean it is. Non-Christians have a wide range of gods. It might be a rock group, it might be a media personality. Or others make God of their children or grandchildren, money, business, their wife, husband, their car, house, a golf game, or sex. But probably the most popular God of our times is named Self. Why not talk about their gods first? Not critically, not judgmentally, not with an holier-than-thou attitude, but with an honest interest. Paul did exactly that. He said, "I see that you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your object of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Find common ground to communicate. Be like the two men who went into a restaurant and saw that there were three vegetables on the menu from which to choose. Well, the waitress said to them, 'Just tell me which one of these three you don't want, and it will be a lot easier that way.' Well, one fellow said, 'I don't want any rutabagas.' 'But rutabagas weren't even on the menu,' she said. 'Look, mister, you cannot want something we haven't got. You've got to not want something we have. If they don't know him, how can they choose him?' Begin where the people are. Find common ground and communicate." Well, step three in witnessing is talk about God. Well, then Paul, having identified his audience, he boldly began to talk about the true God. Not their God, not just any God, but God. Note that he is still finding common ground for agreement. Everyone needs a God. Like an atheist said to a man who was witnessing to him, he says, "I don't believe in God." Well, the man wisely said, "Well, tell me about the God you don't believe in. Maybe I don't believe in him either." So Paul, he started at the beginning with God as creator, the source of all life. He told how God guided history and is the one on whom all life depends. We live in him, and we are his offspring. Meaning we don't even take a breath without his giving it to us. He found contact with the people on the grounds of common humanity, reminding them, in him we live and move and have our being. So Paul began where they were. He found common ground and communicated, then talked about God. And that brings us to our final step. Step four, and come right out and say it. We must finally come right out and say it. There comes a time in Christian witness when we must speak boldly and plainly of sin, of need for confession and repentance, of Christ and his death and resurrection, and take the risk of being switched off by the participants in the dialogue. Paul's message moved into the incarnation and forgiveness offered by a man whom God has appointed. Then he just came right out and said it. The man God raised from the dead. That brought a response. To accept the resurrection demanded an act of faith on the part of his audience. A God who raised the dead was not someone just to discuss and argue over or philosophize about. This was a God who must be confronted. And that confrontation would result in acceptance or rejection. So ultimately, then, our message, our witness, must call people to make definite decisions for Christ. We as believers can only say that I am his, that I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to Jesus Christ. And some will believe, and some do not. Resistance to the gospel comes in many ways. Well, in Philippi, they put Paul in jail. In Thessalonica, there was an uproar with political overtones. In Berea, an angry crowd was the reason the Christians sent him on a ship safely here to in Athens. The resistance was of a sort with which we are all familiar. They ridiculed him. The Athenians calling him this battler couldn't have been easy to take. But it never doused the flaming zeal of Paul. Likewise, ridicule should never deter us from witnessing to others. Paul was not a failure at Athens. God never allows any witness to be lost. Nothing we do for him is in vain. Well, in verse 34, we read, a few men became followers of Paul and believed. It doesn't say all who heard Paul's witness believed. It tells us a few, so we need to be like Paul. And do not be discouraged. In conclusion, God calls us to be his witness. Learn from Paul how to be that witness. First, begin where the people are. It may be a rest area in the doctor's office, maybe while dining or just in conversation. And second, find common ground and communicate. Third, talk about God. Then step four, come right out and say it. As we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In his service, this is Pastor Joe.